Hey, everybody. This is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to episode 180 of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. 180. That's crazy. I really did start this podcast and think, if I could just make a few episodes, if I could just get, I don't know, I think that the number that I committed to was 10. Like, if I could do 10 episodes of this, I'll know at least if I like it or if I don't like it. You know, I'll know where to go from here. And it took about 165 episodes before I go, I think I have a vision for what I want this podcast to be. And I think this podcast could actually be something. And as I always thank you guys, that is only because of you. If no one was listening to this podcast, there's no way that I could have been mentally tough and stayed engaged and stayed focused this long. And so it's funny that mental toughness just came up there, because that is what we're going to be talking about today. This episode is actually a suggestion from one of my students, one of my blue belts, Greg Skelly. He also has his own podcast that I've been on. Absolutely recommend that podcast. It is called the CrossFit Edwardsville Community Podcast. And it is obviously what it sounds like. It's a really good podcast about CrossFit, but also they talk to a lot of different people in our area. They even talked to your old pal, Josh McKinney, about a year back. And we did an episode together. Really, really love how it turned out. Just really great guys over there. So thank you, Greg, for this suggestion. And all he said was, you know, I'm curious as to what you consider mental toughness. He said, your perspective's always, you know, I don't know if he used the word weird, but I think he meant to use the word weird, but your perspective is always different, he said. It's always unique, he said. That's what they've been telling me since I was a kid. You know, you're very unique. You're very different. And yeah, but he told me that, and he just said, I would love to hear what you have to say about mental toughness. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because that's not something I think about very often. It's not something that there isn't an incredible value in mental toughness. And that's what we're going to start with this episode, is just kind of looking at what it is and how valuable it can be. But I guess Greg was right. There are a few things, and this is why I don't use the term mental toughness. I don't talk about it a ton on the podcast, is because there are some dark sides of mental toughness and the way that it's portrayed, and just kind of, I don't know. We'll get into this episode and I will explain what I mean and not just try to explain it in the intro. Last little note before we jump into the episode, make sure if you're new to the show or if you've been listening to the show and you are enjoying it, make sure to give me a 5-star review. The show has been growing. The word exponentially is probably the best word to describe it. It's not like we're getting millions of listens still, right? But it's just by percentage, it has been growing so much. And that is thanks to you guys. You know, like I tell you this all the time. If you look at how many 5-star reviews we have, it is so many compared to other podcasts that I know for a fact get so many more listens than us. And it's just because you guys are awesome. And you guys like the content, I guess, and I will keep trying to deliver this content and make it good for you guys. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into the myth of mental toughness. All right, guys, let's get started. So generally, anytime we're starting an episode where we are focused on one thing, and of course, you know me, I'm going to talk about 50 different things in this episode, but the main focus is mental toughness. It's always good to kind of give some definition to it. And we're going to be really light with the definition that we give to it, but we're really going to focus on what it is not and how to develop it. And I kind of, the reason I claim that I can be an authority on speaking on this is not some claim that I think I am super ultra mentally tough or something like that. But I have been around certain human beings and been in positions where I've been able to coach certain human beings, and I'll tell you those stories later, but I've been able to coach some of the most mentally tough people that I've in the universe. Okay. And we'll get into those. And if you want to challenge that, you want to be like, oh no, those guys aren't the most mentally tough people in the universe, either one of them that we're going to talk about today would be happy to fight you to the death. And so you could, you know, prove your point or prove my point. Regardless, I would record it and monetize it somehow and sell the pay-per-view of them probably killing you. But anyway, let's get in to what mental toughness is. So I think mental toughness is a few different things, okay? And we look at it like this. It's a combination of resilience, adaptability, and focus, okay? And we'll dig into each one of those. Resilience is your ability to deal with situations and do it over and over and to know that, hey, I'm going to get beat up tonight in class, but I'm going to go. I'm still going to go. I'm going to show up, okay? That doesn't mean that you have to enjoy it. That doesn't mean anything. You almost, to an extent, you almost have to separate yourself from that fear of getting beaten up to go and get beat up in class, right? And to do it consistently, which as we talk about on the show all the time, we know that is where our growth in jiu-jitsu comes from, is through that consistency, through that showing up day in, day out, right? Even when you know maybe you don't feel 100% that day, even if you know that maybe the room is just going to be so much tougher than you are that day, the ability to show up, the ability to be there. You hear so many armchair experts in jiu-jitsu, like so many, and it's different in jiu-jitsu because they're like, oh, well, I train, so I know this perspective. Like, look, if you're like a blue belt, this is obviously a very big generalization, which I always tell you guys not to do, but I'm going to do it. If you're like a blue belt and you feel like you know better when it comes to competition than somebody like Gordon Ryan, than somebody like one of the highest level guys, and you say, oh, if he would have done this, or if he just trained this way, he would do better. You're probably wrong. You can't comprehend some of the resilience that these guys at black belt have had to have. Black belt's weird. Competing at black belt, competing at the highest level of black belt is weird, because just like when you go in at white belt and you suck and you're getting beat down day in, day out, you're getting beat down when you go to compete. That happens to new black belts. Even really, really, really good brown belts will get promoted to black belt, but there is almost, I talk about this with my students, there are almost five secret belts of black belt, or five levels of black belt. There's like the white belt black belt, the blue belt black belt, the purple, the brown, and the black belt black belt. And when you go into competition, for me, my perspective is adult black belt competition. You are fighting black belt black belts. Not always, not every match, right? There is still going to be people your level, but the range of black belt is, it's unbelievable. The black belt coach that you have that, you know, like doesn't compete, most likely if they rolled with somebody that was a high level, you know, a top five, top 10 IBJJF or a top 10 flow grappling black belt, it would literally look like your coach black belt beating you up when you were a white belt. That is the level. That is the skill gap. And I'll give you an example of this. My first match is a black belt. It was in 2019, and I am, it might've been 18, might've been the very end of 18. It was the very beginning of 2019. We did the Austin Open. First match, I have a guy that when I was a white belt, he won weight and open class of black belt worlds. When I was a 14-year-old chubby white belt, he won weight and open class of black belt worlds. He got to that level because at one point he got his black belt and he was probably at the bottom of the pile. And then he worked his way up and he stayed resilient. He grew, he got better. And then he gets to a point where he's winning worlds. Then fast forward, he continues to get better. And then he gets to a point where he just gets to obliterate Josh McKinney and them share it on the IBJJF Instagram page, right? It happens. But there is a big lesson to be learned there. And that is that I stayed in it. Took my beating. Shared the post from the IBJJF and said, man, that sucks that they shared this. And you deal with it, right? Because if you are trying to grow, if you're trying to get further than you are now, consistency is the only answer. Resilience is really the only answer. Now let's talk about a few other things. And these are a little more, and resilience can be an in the moment thing, but I kind of am looking at it from the perspective of like consistency, of long-term resilience, right? You can obviously have short-term resilience. You can absorb a beating for 8 of the 10-minute match and then come back in the last 2 minutes, right? And we'll talk on all those things in just a second. But the next thought of what mental toughness is, or a combination of what mental toughness is adaptability. Some of the most mentally tough people that I have ever been around have felt comfortable pivoting, have felt comfortable. And I think it's partially because of their resilience, partially because they have experienced, I used to suck at this and now I'm good at it. And so they can adapt and say, well, I've pulled guard my whole life. I think I want to learn to wrestle, right? Or we look at adaptability in the moment. Sometimes you go out and compete. And this to me is what everybody talks about when it comes to mental toughness. Sometimes you go out and compete and you get hurt and then you have 2 more matches, or you get sick, or you get just super exhausted and you have 2 more matches. Can you adapt? Because it's not always just be tougher. If my knee explodes in a match and my game plan was to wrestle, most likely the rah-rah be tough speech that I could get from my coach, most likely that wouldn't be helpful. What would be way more helpful is if my coach said, hey, your guard is great. You have to pull guard here. You've got to play your guard. There's just no way you're going to win without. That's adaptability. And that is, to me, a big part of the most mentally tough people that I've seen, is that, you know, especially from the coach's perspective, is that I can tell them, I need you to do something that maybe you don't always do in practice. Maybe you're not comfortable with. But that's how we're going to get to our goal. That's how we're going to get to victory today. And that is a huge part of mental toughness. And the last part, and I think that this is, to me, what I care the most about. And this is, if you listen to me, coach, you will hear me say this word, especially to my higher level athletes. You'll hear me say it 1,000 times in a match. Focus. Focus. Stay in it. Stay in the moment. Focus. It is so easy, especially when you're competing, to lose focus. What does that look like? I'm in the match. I'm breathing heavy. And I start thinking about that. I start thinking, man, I'm getting tired. Mm-mm. Mentally tough people, they push that out. They don't worry about it, right? Because when you usually are thinking, I'm getting tired. Oh no, I'm wearing out. Oh no. It's because you're not in the moment. What you're saying to yourself is, because when you're gassed right that second, you can still fight. You can still fight for another grip. You can still fight for another angle. You could still fight for something. But what happens, you start to think you're tired, and then you say to yourself, well, 30 seconds from now, I'm not going to have any energy. Or the next match, there's no way I can win the next match. That means that you're not focused. You're not in the moment, because when you're competing, especially, you need to be able to make important decisions under pressure. And if you are not in the moment, if you are not in every second of the match, and your opponent is, even if you're better than your opponent, you will probably lose that match. one of the most important things that I have seen, that I've gotten to witness when I have seen my most mentally tough athletes go out and compete, is them focusing in the moment, them making decisions in the moment. As a coach, there are times that I will see something happening and not understand what my athlete wants to do, what my athlete's goal is. Maybe I have a little bit of an assumption, like he's waiting for 20 more seconds before he tries to go for this, or he's going for something different than what I see. But if you have an athlete that is focused and in the moment, you have to trust them. You have to trust them in that decision-making, because that is them expressing their mental toughness. When you start to focus out and you need your coach, sometimes you do need your coach. There have been times that I've looked up so questioned and puzzled in the middle of matches, and my coach has zoned me back in and helped me with something, right? But most of the time, when you have somebody who's mentally tough, when you have somebody who's really good, you let them make those decisions. You see the situation they're in, maybe you give a suggestion, but mentally tough people make decisions under pressure. And let's go to kind of just, while we're defining it, let's look at what mental toughness is not. It is not an emotion. That is, honestly, in my notes, that is the only thing that I really have in my notes about what mental toughness is not. And that is because it's so often sold as this point of almost angry, this point of, you know, I'm gonna turn Super Saiyan once I get mad enough. And it doesn't work like that. Usually when you are competing, when you're fighting, when you're grappling at the gym with emotion, all you're doing is wasting energy. I've seen very, very few people, and there are some, of course, but I have seen very few people that emotion helps in matches. Because your emotions are, they're not real. How you feel is not how the world is. That is one of like the when it comes to mental toughness, it's actually something I wish I said last week, because we've done two episodes back to back on mentality, actually three at this point. That was something I wish I would have said last week, is how important it is to understand that how you feel and who you are two different things. And the more you can understand that, the more resilient you will be, the more consistent you'll be, the more adaptable you will be. Emotion clouds you so much when it comes to simply being in the moment. It comes to simply just going out and grappling. And you're going to have to deal with emotion. But I think just some little simple practice, this is something that's been helpful for me, is I would like to say you would never hear me say these things, but never say never, right? I'm sure there are times that I slip up and I do still say these things. But saying things like, I am scared. I am angry. I am any of these things, right? You are letting your emotions determine who you are. Instead, you recognize it for what it is. I am having angry thoughts. I'm having fearful thoughts, but they do not define me. They are not who I am. And people have to, like, you know, it's really hard for a lot of people to separate their emotion from who they are, right? But that is why the importance of having different perspectives. That is the importance of having different perspectives, right? You hear people that tell you, you know, maybe you get around the right people and they tell you really positive things, and they tell you, you are a great grappler, you are a great wrestler, you are a great whatever, you're a great no-gi guy, a great gi guy. And you will start to believe those things, right? But the same goes for your mindset. When you start to tell yourself, I am scared, you will start to be scared. You will continue to be scared. You will continue to have fearful thoughts, right? And so just having some practice of saying, my thoughts and emotions are not who I am. And you're going to have to catch yourself. You're going to do it all the time. you're going to get tired in a round and you are going to say, I am tired. To me, a good way to deal with that is just to think about your next goal. Don't think I am tired. Yeah, you probably are. Who isn't? Right? That's what I always tell my students. They'll be like, man, you were breathing really heavy and I expected you to like fade a little bit. And I always think back to the first Avengers movie where they keep asking Bruce Banner, what's your secret to not becoming the Hulk? What's your secret to not being angry? What's your secret to not being angry? And finally, the end of the movie, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, if you've missed the last 15 years of amazing superhero movies, at the very end of the movie, the Hulk says, that's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry. And for me, that's my secret of being able to train tired. Because I'm always tired. I'm always gassed. But you don't think about it. You think about your next goal. You think about your next round. You stay in the moment. You say, hey, I still haven't beaten this guy down. What's my next grip bite? What's my next position? What's my next angle? And that is, to me, how to make sure that you don't let your emotion cloud your mental toughness. So now we're going to look at how nothing that I just said matters when it comes to winning. I just think so often mental toughness is sold as this thing that wins you world titles. Self-belief is the same way. And I've talked about this before. But you cannot think that mental toughness is just the moment. Mental toughness is resilience. It is the lead up to the moment, because that is where you develop your skills. Without skills, you can be the most mentally tough human being on the planet. It will not matter. Right? You talk about, I think there's a comedian, his name's Hannibal Buress, and he talks about how if he is going to exercise, he says he doesn't exercise, but if he would, he would do something like Muay Thai or Jiu-Jitsu. And he said, my reason being is, say I do CrossFit, and everyone's like, oh man, Hannibal's really tough. He's a CrossFitter. And then I get into a fight and I start getting beat up. All CrossFit would do is help me get beat up for longer. And that is what I look at with mental toughness. Without skill, mental toughness in the sense of going into jiu-jitsu is kind of irrelevant. You know, in the sense of winning a specific match or winning a specific competition, if you are just, you cannot beat the skill gap or the strategy gap or any of those things, it just doesn't matter how mentally tough you are. You need me to prove this? Bring in the most mentally tough person you know that doesn't do jiu-jitsu and have them roll with your coach. And your coach will just beat them up a little bit longer than he beats everybody else up. So when we're thinking about these things, one of the only mentally tough thoughts that I think really matter is if you're willing to die when you're talking about competition. Because if you accept that you could die in the jiu-jitsu tournament, because you were going to, if you guys have competed before, you know what I'm talking about. You are going to feel like at some point or another in a jiu-jitsu match that you could die, right? Or if you do enough tournaments, you will get off the mat at some point or another and think, this is it. This is the end. I gotta, you know, tell my friends to delete my search history, you know, like, you're in trouble. But if you accept it already and you say, yes, I am willing to die here, it will make all the difference. And it doesn't mean you're going to win every match, but you will be able to stay in it, right? Because obviously, as we just said, mental toughness is only a piece of competition. It is only a small piece of competition. It is not the competition in itself. And we try to stay so mentally focused when we're getting ready to compete. And we'll talk about that. I'll kind of reiterate some of the stuff we talked about last week, but we'll talk about mental toughness, some practices that you can actually do to get better at jiu-jitsu, or to get better at competing, to get tougher at competing, I guess. Before we move on, I had two stories I wanted to tell you guys, and these are both really cool stories that I got to see from kind of a coaching perspective. What is really unique about my team? When I say my team, I don't mean my gym, Head Not HQ. I mean my team, TAC team. It is still pretty new in our area. And a lot of us are pretty close. A lot of us are good friends. We've been competing side by side for long times, been training a lot side by side. You're training for a long time side by side. And we have some really cool relationships. But something we all do is we all coach each other. And it's amazing. We never even discuss this. But to me, it's so amazing to watch that it doesn't matter. You know, even when I was 23 and I would coach my friend who I'm about to tell this story about, Nick Sanders, he would respect me as a coach and listen to me as if I was the best coach in the world. And I would do the same when he would coach me, or when my coach Kyle, or when our coach Junior, right? Any of the coaches on our team, you know, Eric Huebner, who I'm going to talk about, he and I have been the same way. Always coach each other, always bounce back and forth between the student and coach kind of dynamic, and give each other that role all the time. And it's been so helpful, right? But I have two cool stories for you that I have to tell. I think I've told both at some point on the podcast. But the first one, with PANS coming up in a week, I thought it would be fun to tell this one. So last year at PANS, I believe it was last year. It was definitely last year. It was after, as you guys, if you followed me on Instagram, then it was after I got stuck in Vegas after ADCC trials for like 4 extra days because all flights were canceled. And of course, in Vegas, you're in the middle of the desert. Driving back to the Midwest is a long drive, right? And also there were no rental cars either because everyone else had rented cars and drove back to wherever they were from. And so really crappy situation. I go to coach. I finally get to Orlando. I actually fly to St. Louis, which is an 18-hour drive from Orlando. So I fly home after 4 days of just sitting in a hotel room and contemplating life. And then I drive to Orlando. I'm able to coach one of my students, and then I make sure I stay. Couple extra hours I'm going to stay because I know I'm going to get to coach Nick Sanders, who's been on the show. If you guys haven't heard that podcast, I'll make sure to link it. Really good episode. And Nick's going to be on again soon. I haven't asked him that, but he's cool, man. He'll say yes, right? But once the new studio is totally finished, he'll definitely be somebody's on. Anyway, so we go out for Nick. We've got his first match. Nick's been on fire this year. He's really been sharp. First match, make sure head's on right. Everything's good. We don't really know anything about this guy that Nick has. Like, we can't find anything about this guy. And so it's kind of weird. We know he's from Brazil, as everybody we fight as Americans tends to be. And Nick has an absolute barn burner in that match. Talk about adaptability. Talk about focus. His ability in that match to get swept and fight right back, sweep the guy right back. And just continue to fight. And he ends up beating the guy towards the end of the match. It really boils over, really gets nuts. Nick gets the win. We walk off and I can tell there's something wrong. I can tell that he's not feeling healthy. And he's like, dude, my leg. And he's kind of holding where his groin is, right? So really common jiu-jitsu injury because our groin muscles generally are super out of balance because they're so strong. Because you're when you play closed guard, you're pinching your legs all the time, or all the time in jiu-jitsu, you're pinching your legs. You develop too much strength there. And anyway, he pulls his groin terribly. I see a picture a few days later, and it is as purple as anything you've ever, as black as anything you've seen. It looks like, I thought should have just cut his leg off. It was terrible. But anyway, Nick tells me, I hurt my leg. It really hurts bad. I said, okay, what can you play? We talk about the positions that he feels comfortable playing. And I looked at him, and it was just he and I. I can still feel this moment. I can still see this moment. And I said, Nick, are you willing to die for the gold today? And he said, without even a smirk, nothing. He said, yes. And I said, no worries then. We'll go win. And he did. After, I think he had I think he had three more matches. And they were all, he's fighting at ultra heavyweight. These are big boys and they are tough. And there are even matches that we are getting the worst calls in the world. And this dude's focus, his adaptability, his resilience was unbelievable. It really was one of the most mentally tough things I've ever witnessed. One of the two. And he stayed in it. He stayed in it and he won. And then afterwards, of course, he had to go ice his groin, I'm sure, but it was worth it. And it really had to do with, in my opinion, it had to do with that he stayed in it. He did not lose his focus. Once we had that first conversation about the leg, we didn't talk about it. We were there for two more hours, hour and a half competing. We did not talk about his leg after that initial conversation of what guards can you play? Are you willing to die? And he was. He played the guards that he said he could play. We adapted to the situation and the dude won. There's a good video. I think there's quite a few good videos of me over celebrating big wins of my teammates, but there's a solid video of me just going nuts when Nick won. It was a really amazing moment. So now, before we go to our commercial, one more story for you guys. And this is also, you know, in the top two things that I think about when I think about mental toughness. This is my student, Eric Huebner. He's one of my black belts. He's been on two episodes of the show. I'll make sure to link those. Really, both of the episodes, we kind of talked about competition and mental toughness because, as you guys will see, as you will hear in this story, this is the most mentally tough dude that I've ever seen. So keep in mind, Eric has wrestled his whole life. He has so much competition experience. It is unbelievable. And Eric tells me a few years back that he wants to compete in a new grappling art. It's called combat wrestling. If you guys haven't checked out what combat wrestling is, very, very interesting. I think especially for people that do jiu-jitsu that wrestled before, I think you would really, really like it. If you didn't wrestle before, I think if you're like me and you didn't wrestle before, I think it's tough. It really is tough. Because of how heavy takedown the rule set is. But it's nothing like combat jiu-jitsu. There's no strikes or anything like that. But it's like basically if they added some submissions to wrestling and they took away the pin as the way to for victory, they kept it wrestling. Well, anyway, Eric tells me this grappling art has been around for like 3 years. In his weight class, we go out, he just absolutely obliterates nationals and he qualifies for the American, the Team USA. And they're hosting the Combat Wrestling Worlds in where? St. Louis, Missouri. I don't know who messed up and chose that venue, but it's what they did. And so you have all these really tough international guys coming in, and specifically, there is this, I couldn't tell you what his name is. We just call him the Bulgarian. There is this Bulgarian. And he is, I'm guessing 6'7", 6'8", 350 pounds and not fat. He is a big muscular man. He is the 3-time combat wrestling world champion. And that's who we know we're going to have to deal with. That's who we know this is going to come down to, is Eric and this guy. And we go out and Eric beats him. It's a 6-minute match. Eric beats him by a point. Okay. Keep in mind, I don't know the rules to this tournament. I don't know anything. I don't know the rules when I go to a jiu-jitsu tournament, right? And it's just the rules really, they weren't super defined. There were only a certain group of guys that really knew the rules. And it just, you know, it's a newer sport. And there was a point in Eric's match where he was getting this guy's back. Okay. Keep in mind, Eric's 265 at the time. Eric gets both hooks while this guy is like pretty flattened on his stomach. And the guy stands up like Eric is a little child and throws him off of his back, throws him off the mat. They call stop, and then he just throws Eric like you would an annoying teenager at your gym. And Eric just smiled and went right back into the match, just went right back into the fight. And it was really, really cool to see this win. But oh no, wait, there's an argument after the match. They're saying that Eric went for an illegal face crank with 90 seconds left. And Eric was up that point, but they were like, no, he shouldn't have been up that point. Well, of course, I make the argument that because they immediately start trying to reverse the call. I make the argument, hey, we would have fought totally different in the last 90 seconds if we knew we were down. And then me just trying to pull anything out, I go, well, we want a challenge when that guy threw Eric out of bounds off of his back. That's got to be a penalty, right? That's got to be some type of unsportsmanlike thing, right? And they all paused. And I was like, oh gosh, they're actually listening to this. This is crazy. And Eric's off. He's, you know, dying after this match. And he is, you know, kind of talk. He's definitely beat up. He's definitely injured from that fight, right? And they say there's only one option. It's a wrestle off. It's a wrestle off. These guys have to fight again. Are you... Come on, man. We're giving up 100 pounds. You're going to make my guy fight again? And so I'm not happy. But we have a shot still. And I walk over to Eric, and in all honesty, between just me and you guys, I am fully prepared to be like, all right, Eric, this is BS. Grab your stuff. Let's go. Let's head out. We don't need this. And I just say to him, Eric, they want you to fight again. And I can see his face. His head is down. And he goes, what? Okay. And they give him, I think they give him both like 20 minutes. Eric goes back. He does his regular warm-up. He does his regular everything. He does his regular bounce. He goes out and he starches the guy. He's all over him. The crowd is erupting. Eric wins pretty dominantly too. And I can honestly say it was the most mentally tough thing I've ever experienced. It was movie quality. This guy was so imposing. And this guy was an amazing wrestler. They ended up having multiple matches since then. And both guys are, I think they were the first two inductees in the Combat Wrestling Hall of Fame, right? But that moment, watching him just go right back to basics and say, okay, and he warmed up the same. He kept everything the same and he stayed focused. He won. That was one of the most amazing, mentally tough things I've ever seen. Now let's go ahead. Let's go to a commercial break. Hey there, I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show listeners. Are you tired of getting choked out on the mat? Do you even struggle to see the submission coming? Well, have no fear, because Simplifying Jiu-Jitsu is here. I know I complained about that line in my script writing last week, but just brought it back. I don't know. It was good. Anyway, guess what? We've got a free ebook that will help you see the jiu-jitsu world through three different lenses. That's right. You will see jiu-jitsu from three different perspectives. It's like having three pairs of glasses, but useful. So this ebook is perfect for anyone who wants to take their jiu-jitsu game to the next level. And did I mention it is both free and written by yours truly, Josh McKinney? So head over to simplifyingjiujitsu.com/3. I'll make sure to link that in the description to get your free copy of the three lenses today. And who knows, maybe one day you'll be able to catch that blue belt that you hate that always seems to be getting the better of you using your new training methods, your new ideas on training that you discovered in the three lenses ebook. Simplifying Jiu-Jitsu, where the submissions come easy and the ebooks are free. Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, keep rolling, keep smiling, keep learning, and of course, keep listening to the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. Let's get back to the episode. All right, we're back, and we're just going to look at really one idea to close, and that is the idea of how mentally tough people talk to themselves. And I think just current state of things, a lot of people think that mentally tough people have negative self-talk, that they basically trash talk themselves, that they say, oh, come on, toughen up, you're such a baby, or you're this, or you're that. Maybe there are some people like that, and maybe it's really great for some people. But in terms of jiu-jitsu, and I think that can be helpful for some people in terms of consistently riding their bike or running or doing something like that. But I just don't think that that is, or have never noticed that that is a quality that high-level grapplers have. High-level grapplers have really positive self-talk. They believe in themselves, right? They don't believe that, like, if I can't accomplish what I've set out to do, I'll just give up. They believe that they can accomplish what they've set out to do. Even when they lose, even when they face adversity, they still believe in themselves. Because the truth is, if you don't believe in yourself, how could you expect your team to believe in you? How could you expect your coaches to believe in you? How could you expect to win? I remember I was just watching Meat Eater. It's like, man, one of the best shows. And I was watching an episode, and it was, I don't even remember who the guy was, but he is a Major League Baseball player. And he was on the show with Steven Rinella. And they were just talking about kind of being in big moments and how you handle them. And the guy said something really interesting. He said, I love big moments because I do great when the pressure's on, and I do great in big moments. So let me ask you something. Do you think that that is just something that this guy has made up in his head? No. That is something that he's experienced. That's why he brings that in. He says, I've been under pressure before, and I know I can perform like that. And that is one of, you know, when you're fighting somebody, that is one of the toughest mentalities to beat, is the guy that says, I win matches when I'm down two. I win matches in the last few minutes. And so, you know, keep in mind, there can be uncertainty. Not everybody's self-talk is going to be perfect or perfectly positive. But the more you keep that in your mind, the more you deflect that negative thought of, remember the last time you failed. Remember the last tournament you didn't do well. You tell yourself, no, I fought this guy in the gym, and this guy's super tough, and I beat this guy. He's one of the best guys in the gym, or I swept him. I can sweep anybody. When you believe like that, it allows you to go so much further. It allows you to basically flex your toughness muscle. And the more you flex your toughness muscle, the more you will continue to get stronger. And this is, you know, I really haven't talked about myself in this episode as a mentally tough thing. But I think that this would be a super simple time to kind of talk about a way I used to talk to myself, a way I used to define myself, and how I contrast it now with the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. So I used to always, you know, like when I grew up, my father has always owned personal training gyms. And so that kind of entrepreneur mindset has always been in my mind. And as soon as I turned 18, you know, kind of get the freedom to do what I want and to try what I want. And so I would try all kinds of things. I would try to make a YouTube channel, and I would try to sell things online, and I would try to make a t-shirt company, and I would try all these different things. And all of them ended in me closing it out, me failing. And I used to let that define me. I used to start projects, and I still remember doing this. And I would say, well, I wonder when I'll fall off on this one. I wonder when I'll give up here. I would never do that on the mats, right? This wasn't a mentality that I was carrying on the mats. But I know that this is a mentality that a lot of people carry on the mats. They feel this way, and they get their blue belt, and they say, well, I am a quitter. I've always quit. You know, why should this be any different? But if mental toughness, if it actually is a muscle that you can flex, if it's actually a skill that you can develop, which I really do believe that it is, then how you beat that mindset, how I have dealt with that mindset. And honestly, if I'm being totally honest with you guys, I don't deal with that mindset anymore. That self-talk, I never hear that you're a quitter, Josh. I never hear that with the podcast. I've never really even thought about giving up on the podcast. And it is because I changed my self-talk. And I first said, all those quote unquote failures are just you learning. And if you just keep learning, you can't fail at anything. If you just keep using all of these things that you are, all of these situations you're putting yourselves in, or you're putting yourself in, and whether I'm having success, whether I'm making money, whether I'm losing money, I looked at all of them as learning experiences. And like, well, then I can take all those learning experiences, and now I'm so much better at running a business. I'm so much better. I know what not to do on these things. I'm so much better at branding. And then I would apply it to the next thing, and maybe the next thing wouldn't work. But eventually I got to a point where I'm doing the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show. And we are almost 3.5 years in. And we're putting out episodes every Thursday. And again, like I said, I don't have that self-talk anymore. But really what helped me with that self-talk was replacing those negative thoughts first, and saying, and kind of just spinning them and saying, okay, these things are still helpful to me. They will help me get where I want to be. And then also being positive with myself, telling myself, you know, this was something I did have to get out of, is like doing an episode of the podcast and then being like, ugh, that sucked. I know that sucked. And what would happen is maybe someone would comment and say, that episode was really helpful for me. And I started to realize, oh, I'm just being really critical of myself. I'm just dogging myself. In changing that thought process to today, I am going to do a good podcast. I'm going to stay in the moment every second of this show. If I'm on somebody's podcast, if they're on mine, if I'm just doing a solo episode, I will stay in every second. I will be resilient. I will be adaptable. And I will have focus, right? Those three things, to me, those are what make up mental toughness. And if you have those three things, you know, maybe you don't. You can develop them if you do not have them. And you develop them one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. And as frustrating as that sounds, as frustrating as Josh McKinney's answer to everything being either focus or consistency. I mean, if you need more, I don't know. Probably not the podcast for you. Those two things, I think, are the things that everybody in the jiu-jitsu space, no matter where you're trying to get to, no matter what you're using jiu-jitsu for, those two things, focus and consistency, are the hardest things to develop. They're the hardest things to have. And what sucks about them too, is if you stop using them, you start to lose them. When I lose focus of my dreams, when I lose focus of my goals, a lot of times my life starts to become in shambles. I stop being able to focus on my goals. When I stop being consistent, I start to gain weight. It's harder to come and train when I'm getting heavier. When I stop being consistent, my cardio sucks. It's harder to come and train when my cardio sucks. But when I am consistent, when I'm consistently building my habits, when I'm consistently focusing in class, eventually I stop having to even think about it. I'm showing up to class at Monday at 6. I'm focused. I'm zoned in at Monday at 6. And to me, that is kind of solving the myth of mental toughness. And I guess last place to talk is because some of the positive self-talk, some of the self-love part of the episode maybe even sounds contrasting to people that are going, well, I'm trying to develop mental toughness. You know, I'm too nice to myself. I don't think most people do that, right? I don't think most people are too nice to themselves. But you can be delusional. You can lie to yourself. And I think that that is kind of the line on if you have balance of mental toughness and self-love, right? Or self, whatever we called it in the beginning, or just called it a second ago, positive self-talk, right? That to me is the defining line is, are you being honest, right? I really don't. I try not to, when it comes to positive self-talk, try not to lie to myself. You know, it's a difference between belief and lies, right? When I believe that I'm going to win black belt worlds, but I can't beat any of the blue belts at the gym, I'm probably delusional. I'm probably lying to myself, right? And it goes the same with my positive self-talk. If I am trying to be just super positive and I'm saying, Josh, you're 6'5". And really, you're 5'10 on a good day, Josh. That's not positive self-talk. That's just me lying, right? That's just me being delusional. And so that's what I'll leave you guys with. We'll go ahead and we'll let Josh close us out on this episode. And that is the episode. I hope you guys liked this one. Really, I think this will close off our kind of mental toughness or mentality few weeks that we've been doing. I didn't intend to do like a series on mentality, but I guess it just kind of happened. And I'm glad it did. Next week, we're going to look at, we're going to do something a little more beginner friendly. Not that every episode of the show isn't beginner friendly, but we're going to do something very focused on beginners. And it's just going to be, for me, it's going to be the ultimate guide to starting jiu-jitsu. And it will be everything you need to know if you are a brand new white belt, hoping one day to be a black belt. And we'll get that going. I think I'm pretty sure that the interviews are going to be coming out within a few weeks. And I'm so excited to start dropping some interviews for you guys too. And like I told you guys before, those will come out on Tuesdays. We're going to keep Thursdays consistent and just being kind of the Josh McKinney show, where I'm just telling you guys about different stories from the past and different things that you and I could be doing to get better at jiu-jitsu. And that's where I will leave you guys today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope that you guys, if you guys are at PANS this any time during, I'm going to probably be there the whole entire time. I hope that you guys come up to me and say hi, get a picture with me, tell me that you don't hate the show. I would really appreciate that. And most importantly, I hope that today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.